Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN. Powered by the National Coalition of Labor, I am Ken Edwards with the National Coalition of Labor. To my right today, Phil Davidson, Mid-America Carpenters.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Where's Ed?
Halloween hangover?
Hold on. Is it too cold for
golfing? It might be a little too cold for that.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, fair enough. No, I think Ed is traveling, spreading the gospel of the coalition. We've been doing it. Once again, a lot of traveling lately. It's affecting my relationship.
You guys are true road warriors.
No, I'm serious. It's affecting my relationship with your wife.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I thought your relationship with Ed. But okay.
No, actually with your I just don't get to see her as much anymore.
Yeah, well, that makes two of us.
Also a terrible joke. All right, so listen, we got a ton of stuff to get to today, but let's just like right out of the gate talk about the RTA, right? We've been following this for a really long time. You know, we're falling off this fiscal cliff.
We had a full show about it.
We had a full show. We did the 399 thing, right? Yep. Where we had the panel and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's complex stuff. But, like, you know, crack of dawn, the early morning the other day, I think it was Thursday into Friday.
Correct.
They got an agreement.
They got a bill passed.
Yeah, which is just crazy. So
who would have thought this day would come?
Yeah, I know, right? So yeah. they there was a gap, and they were able to get the funding to fill that gap. And so they're now, I guess I'm assuming, the governor will sign
It'll
it.
It'll go
right?
to the governor. Yeah, this is the saga that we've been following for, the last year and a half plus, where it was originally an $800 million funding gap for RTA services, for CTA, for PACE, for METRA. And the problem was because all the funding that they were getting from COVID relief from the federal government, that all dried up.
Right.
So now to make sure that they could fully fund and have access to continued service, they needed to make up that funding gap. Then all of a sudden it was, you know, rewritten, and it was like, wait, it's only a $200 million gap because there was an increase in the sales tax. So it was just, it's just been really topsy-turvy. But ultimately, this week they passed a bill that's going to fund $1.5 billion for transit across the state, including all three agencies. And long time coming. There was a lot of heavy lifting being done by the Labor Alliance for Transportation,
right?
Which my union, the Carpenters Union, is members of. Operating engineers are members of. All obviously the rail transit agencies, because you know there was they're talking about like 20,000 jobs were at stake there, and not to mention all the funding for service would have been cut. There would have been like 50% less service. But we got a deal. The devil's in the details, because that's always like, how do you pay for a $1.5 billion funding gap?
Well, we'll have somebody in to discuss it. I think once the ink is dry.
Yep.
But the good news is, like you said, no service cuts.
No service cuts.
Still get to work. You don't have to worry about carpooling or not getting able to get home at night because there's no bus service.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of people rely on that. A lot of people who are healthcare providers, educators,
you know, that
first
there are
responders.
People that don't know how to drive.
I've heard of that.
Did you know this?
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they rely on public transportation.
Yes.
Or Uber.
It's very important to have. Yeah. And we say, like, you can't have a city as world class as Chicago without access to public transit.
I think that's right.
Right.
Yeah. I'm glad that, and I think it was bipartisan, was it not?
It was.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, but still technically bipartisan.
Good enough.
All
right?
It takes is one.
Yeah, except to make it bipartisan. So good for them. And then in other news, Phil, just like in quick news, have you been following Starbucks' latest moves? The workers I'm talking about.
A little bit. It's hard to keep up. There's always something going on with the Starbucks.
It is hard to keep up. The first thing I want to say about Starbucks, though, and I promised I would mention this, is that there is a premiere of a documentary called Partners, How Starbucks Baristas Started a Labor Revolution. And that is going to be on Wednesday, November 5th at 6 o'clock. And that is Film Row Cinema, which is at 1104 South Wabash, 1104 South Wabash. 6 o'clock. It's next Wednesday. No, it's this coming Wednesday, November 5th. And it's a documentary, obviously, about Starbucks and, you know, how they got their start in Buffalo and sort of like, you know, what's going on. Now, you know, the name, the labor revolution, I'm not sure has come to fruition yet, but, you know, they're working on it.
Right.
And so I think
they're taking the right steps.
Listen,
they have a very difficult battle, obviously.
Let's give them an A for effort, yes. Right? They are trying, and so they're ratcheting things up.
Yes.
And they're talking about going on strike, and they're talking about doing some national pickets, and there's going to be pickets, I think, in 60 cities throughout the country. But, you know, out of the 9,000 Starbucks, I think is how many locations there are, it's only 550 that have been organized.
Right.
Right. And you go like, oh my God, that's horrible. That's terrible. Well, it's, you know, start with nothing. That's 550, you know, stores that organized.
Yeah. It's nothing to sneeze at.
No, God, no. It's at all. And you know, I feel for their, you know, these guys' plight because it's not an easy, first of all, not an easy job. They got to get up at crack of dawn. Right. Deal with the rowdy, you know, the whole normal sort of service industry.
Yes.
But of course, you know, Starbucks has taken the nuclear option, right? Which is what you're doing is illegal because the labor board is illegal. Therefore, we don't have to bargain with you. Like, they're part of that coalition, I believe, aren't they?
Yes.
And for a minute, they had a CEO that said, you know what, enough is enough. We're going to bargain a contract nationwide.
Yes.
And then he's gone.
And then he was disappeared.
Disappeared
immediately after saying that.
And now they got a
Seriously,
guy.
It was within like a week of him saying that. They're like, you gotta go.
Don't they got a guy flying on a private jet?
Yeah.
He commutes to work on a private jet.
The old Chipotle CEO.
Yeah. You know why he does that on a private jet? He doesn't know how to drive either.
Probably not. He's never heard of it. So flying cars for him.
He's taking a private jet.
Yeah.
To work. But you know what? They can't give these guys a raise, you know, or whatever. So,
no.
But they're going to start to pick it, and they're going to start to try and look at the end of the day. Sometimes it just comes down to a public pressure. I don't think that the public really cares that much. At least in big cities, I think they do. The rest of the world, I don't think they do.
Yep.
But then it's economic pressure, right? Can you hurt them economically? Can you, if you shut down 550 stores, what happens? Does it affect your bottom line? It's got to at least move the needle.
Yeah.
And then if that 550 turns into 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000, right?
Now you're talking.
Right? I think so. So anyway, go check out that movie. It's pretty cool. I haven't seen it, obviously, but I will. And then, you know, kudos to these guys. We wish them well on their practice pickets and support them and give them a little honk and bring out some donuts. And I guess they don't need coffee, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe we should bring some free coffee from some like a 7-Eleven or Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, that would that would make some noise.
We give
for
out
sure.
free. If we did that with Bona Beef.
We gave
Portillo's, which we would never do anymore because of that.
But that's generally the provided meals for people on strike, right? Is coffee and donuts?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's a nice thing to do. So anyway, listen, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We got a ton of stuff to get to. Lots of labor stories happening in the United States right now, both locally, nationwide.
Oh, let me just give one more shout out to when it comes to transit to our good friend Tim Dre for shepherding that bill through.
So funny. I talked to Tim at the crack of dawn the other day. Like, this poor guy's like probably even up to 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And he still answered my call and it gave me like the Reader's Digest version of what happened. And Tim also had a birthday the other day.
Ah, well, happy birthday to you as well, sir. But yeah, they were negotiating that bill up until like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
When it finally passed Friday. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And he still took my call. You know, so these people like
Tim's a man.
They don't sleep, you know.
Yep.
And so we're lucky to have people like Tim Dre and the Illinois AFL-CIO, the CFL, like all the organizations here, building trades and, you know, et cetera. You know, we're lucky here.
Takes a village.
Yes, it does. Takes a city.
Takes a city.
All right. Well, listen, we'll be right back. More of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. So, a couple of quick things. I saw an article, and it's not from Chicagoland. It's in Ohio, Lordstown, Ohio, which, as you know, used to be a UAW plant, and they used to build cars there and things like
that. Everyone knows that about Lordstown.
And it's, you know where it's near? Youngstown.
Oh, yeah. My kind of town.
Yeah, which is where the Labor History Museum is, by the way, yes. of Ohio. And anyway, so there's a company called Taylor Coils, I think. They make coils, obviously, and they're hiring people. And this is manufacturing. And I think starting wage is around $20 and change, give or take. But you know what? The reason I mention is, A, if you're listening in Ohio and you need a job, go apply there. But we're starting to see some jobs open up now.
Okay.
Which is a good thing, right? Because on one
hand, is it a union job?
You know, it's a great question, Phil. Okay. Is it a union job? I don't know. It didn't say. I'm going to have to say no. But if one of our listeners goes, it will be a union
okay,
job.
Okay, let's
right?
go.
Yeah, let's get somebody in there.
Go know? Organize, baby.
Yeah, hell yeah. So anyway, so we got that.
But it's nice to see some manufacturing sector opening up a little bit.
Well, there's so many. Look, there's going to be, like you said, and we talked about, there's going to be 600,000 Amazon jobs lost because of robots, right? Unless the government gets involved and says, okay, no more AI replacing humans. Robots can't replace humans. And if you do, you don't get to keep all the money.
No.
Give the money back to the workers, retrain, universal basic income. We'll have a ton of talk about that, but it's on its way.
No more tax breaks.
Right?
No more zero tax liability
when you're a trillion dollar
company. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't pay taxes.
Yeah.
Right? Like the church.
Exactly.
They need the money.
Yeah.
Right?
We should not be subsidizing that.
Listen, we shouldn't be subsidizing Amazon. We shouldn't be subsidizing the church, churches, temples. Any religious organization does pay taxes. I'm against that. But we could use the money, right? Infrastructure, schools. Like if they just pay their taxes, literally they said, like if eight of the biggest companies in the world paid their taxes, you know that we, the rest of the country, wouldn't have to pay any taxes whatsoever.
Yeah.
Do you know that? Something like that. This Warren Buffett says this.
It's wild.
It's just, anyway, it continues to boggle my mind. And, if things continue to go this way, you're going to see a lot of what I would consider wildcat strikes, right?
Correct.
And so, we don't talk about, we don't get in the weeds on that many topics, but we will hear for a quick second, right?
I like it, yeah, because this was brought up recently. Our mayor, Brandon Johnson, suggested that there should be a general strike across the city and, basically all workers put their tools down.
I think he has actually started that strike by not working.
Well, that's one argument you can make here. But
I apologize, Mayor Johnson.
Yeah, that was just signature Ken Edwards humor there. But it was a thought of, hey, to protest what's happening in the government with the shutdown, with what's could be possible pulling of SNAP program for low-income families.
Yeah, food, like literally taking food off your plate.
Yeah, taking food off your plate. Everything that's happening with
getting rid of collective bargaining,
eliminating subsidies for Obamacare. Like, basically, if you're a member of the working class, lower income and below, it's, you're kind of getting it stuck to right now. So that was his idea of like, we got to rise up together. But, that's when it comes to unions, union contracts, it can get very tricky.
You're 100% right, Phil, and most union contracts, while you're in the middle of a contract, and I'd say 99.9% of them have a clause that says no strike, no lockout.
Right.
Right? And in exchange for that clause, you get a grievance procedure. That's how you solve your differences. So much like the Labor Relations Board that came about in the National Labor Relations Act back in the 30s that was designed to stop all these strikes, mm-hmm. right? Interfering with interstate commerce. That's what these contracts do. So the employer agrees they won't lock you out as a result of a dispute, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's
and the union agrees.
Carrot. Yep.
Yep. And that they won't strike. And that for the disputes that they have, they will go to an arbitrator.
Yes.
So there's a grievance procedure. There's a dispute resolution mechanism in the contract. And for the life of that contract, you don't walk out on strike.
Right.
Well, guess what? You walk out on strike in the middle of a contract, it's called a wildcat strike.
You're in violation, right. And wildcat meaning it's not sanctioned by the union. It's just rank and file saying, we're going on strike. This is not orchestrated by the union itself.
Well, yeah. And then, of course, sometimes that's a sort of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, mm-hmm. right? There mm-hmm. have been unions that have been accused of, the blue flu, a sick out, things like that. And then guess what happens? The union gets sued. I think that American Airlines sued the pilots.
Really?
Yeah, for doing that years and years ago and won. and they owed them a lot of money. And
really?
Yeah, eventually I think the pilots said, you know, we're not paying you.
Yeah.
And they
come get it. Yeah.
Yeah, they settled it or whatever, because you need pilots, you know?
Of course.
Until we have autonomous planes. So you know, when you hear these things like bantied about, like, oh, general strike, or shut it down, or shut the country down, blah, blah, it's not that easy.
No.
And so, you know, the rest of the world, if the rest of the world wants to stop working, they have a right to do that, right?
Yes.
Because they don't have a contract. So they're not under the auspices of a union contract, you know.
And they're technically illegal, right, under the rules and regulations of the NLRA.
That's correct.
You can't, you can't get thrown in jail for it, but you're in violation, and you have no protections, right?
You get fired with
no recourse.
Right. If you go out on a wildcat strike, all your protections are basically out the window.
Right.
Right. As opposed to, which is interesting, right? If you're not a union shop, right, you can walk out the door tomorrow. You can walk out the door every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That protected concerted activity. So it is really interesting where you give up your right to strike. You know, you literally have to adhere to that during the life of that contract. And so, you know, there's been some famous wildcat strikes, you know, in like corrections and things like that, where the rank and file are just like, look, we're fed up, we're walking out. The union's like, please don't walk out. You know, it's a violation of the contract. And the rank and file is like, no, we're walking out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes you'll see, I don't know, you'll see unions push the envelope. It's like, hey, you know, I don't care what the contract says. We need to do X, Y, and Z, and they do. And if you got the muscle, right, then the company caves. But if you don't have the muscle, right, and you can't back it up, you know, like you're looking at the Boeing strike that's going on for quite some time right now.
Right.
It's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah. There's not always antagonistic relationships between the unions and the contractors.
There shouldn't be.
You know, yeah, like in the building trades especially, it's like if everyone would go on strike, that hurts the contractors, a lot of whom don't really carry a lot of, we'll say, carpenters, for example.
Sure.
And so that particular individual, his business, which might have five, you know, carpenters working for them, now they're not bringing any revenue, and you know, because over something they're not exactly involved in,
yeah,
they are put at a disadvantage. For,
well, you know, look, Phil, you make a good point, which is like, okay, we're going to call for a general strike.
Yeah.
Why? Because President Trump and his administration are going after unions. That's not why, right? That's because we're 15 million members, you know, 18 million members, whatever. The rest of the country, why? Well, they're laying everybody off. The economy is tanking. They're giving away our jobs. They are allowing companies like Amazon not to pay taxes and use AI to replace us, right? Inflation is skyrocketing. You know, there's all sorts of reasons, but, you know, who's going to do it? Who's going to say 200 million people that are the worker bees of the country, stop working?
Right.
Not happening.
Yeah.
I mean, not in our lifetime.
No.
America is not geared for that. You see it like in Germany and Italy, and you know, where like 98% of the members there are unionized.
The workers are unions, right?
So I don't see it happening here.
It's an interesting idea in theory. It's just very hard to.
Our country is so big, yes, and so divided right now that you know, let's put it this way, and I don't blame Brandon Johnson for what he said. I take shots at him all the time, but I think it was coming from a good place. But you know, if Brandon Johnson's saying it, then you know you got a mayor in deep red, you know, Texas someplace that says, well, if he says that, we're not doing that.
Right.
Right. It's the antithesis of that.
Right.
So, and then one last quick thing on that, kind of a wild strike was the firefighters here, local to our good friends.
Yes.
In the 1980s, before there was a labor act, they went on strike.
Oh, yeah.
And
very famously.
Famous, right? Brotherhood of the Barrel.
That's right.
You know why they say that?
Because they were standing around the barrels, yeah.
They were standing around the barrels to keep warm at night.
Yeah.
Yep. And they famously went on strike before there was even a law.
Yeah.
And as a result of that strike,
with Jane Byrne.
Yep. A law was passed. Collective bargaining got in place for Illinois in about 1984, give or take.
That's right.
And you know, so they set the stage. So kudos to them. Right. But that's real power.
That's
right?
Real power. Yeah.
Right. You take all the firefighters and they all walk out. I mean, that's power. So,
yeah.
Brotherhood of the Barrel. Like that.
People in my neighborhood still talk about that. A lot of firemen in my neighborhood.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, listen, we're going to take a quick break, and then we've got scabby news.
Ooh.
Everybody likes scabby news.
My favorite.
So, we're going to come back. We'll talk more about what's going on in the labor world right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Workers, Mike. More show to come. Sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people, just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Powered by the National Coalition of Labor, which, by the way, we're in the middle of open enrollment, Phil.
That's right.
For life insurance, short-term disability, no questions, no medical exams, et cetera. So so go on our website, coalitionoflabor.org. Go to NCL enrollment. You can't not find it. Now is the time.
Get in there, carpenters. We want to maintain our supremacy. As
carpenters have the most coverage. Like, I think it's over $1 billion that you guys have. It's crazy. I mean, it's just absolutely fantastic. So so that's what's going on in our world right now. That's our little plug. But here, we said we're going to talk about scabby. And, you know, you can mess with people. You can mess with unions. You can mess with workers. But, don't mess with scabby.
Don't mess with overgrown syphilitic rat. That's where we draw the line. Things got a little spicy with
Local
150. Yeah.
150 and then Unite here, Local 25 in New York. So here, we'll start with let's start with Local. Local is Local 150 had a banner up, and I'm not sure what the banner was about. I think I have no idea, to be honest with you. But I did see a YouTube video where I guess it says the owner of Wendella Tours and Cruises.
Yeah,
or something
they do
like
cruises
that,
right off the river.
Yeah, yeah. Like they tool around the lake or something.
Right.
And so I guess they have they lease a dock or dock space.
Is it Navy Pier?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a body of water.
Okay.
So
it's right there.
I'm assuming it's like right there behind us somewhere.
Yes.
On the Great Lake, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And so the 150 had a banner and you know, they had Scabby the Rat up there. And so this guy comes out. And so this is all on video, which is the problem right now. When you do goofy things, everything's on video. Right, so he comes out, and I guess they say he's the grandson or the owner or whatever it is, and he says, basically, get this rat out of here. Like, who are you? What are you doing here? And he's like, I own this space.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you don't own it.
No,
you lease it.
Yes,
you don't own it. I don't care. Leave. You can't be here. Leave. And then they're like, no, we're not leaving. And because you know why? They have a First Amendment right to be there. And
yes,
we'll talk about that in a second. So they're like, no. And he says, well, you know what? I'm going to shiv Scabby. Shiv.
That's a no-no.
I mean, who says shiv?
Someone who served time. Honestly, it's not.
We're not saying he served time, by the way, but that is a really weird thing to say. It's
yes,
like, I'm going to shank Scabby or shiv. But then the guy literally, I'm not making this up.
Did he have a sharpened toothbrush?
A homemade toothbrush. No, he actually had a knife.
He had a knife.
In his pocket.
Yeah.
So, A, who's walking around with a knife in their pocket? And B,
know,
he took it out and opens it and like basically threatens to stab Scabby. And if
that.
I'm also a business agent out there or organizer, or on the job, I'm afraid that this guy's going to, stab me. I don't see how that's not assault. But,
no.
We'll leave that to the smart lawyers. And so if you would like to call Wendella and tell your displeasure about threatening our mascot,
yes,
Scabby the Rat, invented right here in Chicago, all right, it's 312-337-1446. I'm going to say it again, 312-337-1446, and say, don't threaten Scabby, right? Don't take it upon yourself to try and stifle somebody's First Amendment rights,
because
you can't.
And it's going to cost you a lot of money. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Because there's been plenty of instances over the years where Scabby has been punctured.
We're going to talk about that.
Yes.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here it goes. Scabby number two story of the week.
Okay.
New York City restaurant called Babbo, B-A-B-B-O. And I guess there was some story.
Babbo Booey?
Good one.
Thank you.
Nice. See, you are still funny.
Once in a while.
Yeah, I don't see why you don't do the comedy anymore. I think it was like this chef, Mario Batali, and he had something or other. I don't know.
He had some controversy.
Yeah, he got canceled type thing.
Me Too thing, maybe?
I forget. Something.
Something, yes.
But anyway, I think that was his restaurant. It was shuttered for a long time. It's in the West Village in Manhattan, which is, you know, pretty, you know, obviously solidly liberal neighborhood in a solidly liberal town. And so they reopen it, and it's a group called Star Restaurants, and I think that they own some like really high end restaurants around the country. The most famous one, I believe, is in Washington D.C. called the Diplomat,
okay,
Le Diplomat, and if I'm not mistaken, it's one of the most profitable restaurants in the world.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because you get all the D.C. lobbyists it's just, hanging
and,
out,
and you know, yeah, it's a French restaurant, it's, you know, et cetera. But so they resuscitate this restaurant, and I'm not sure what the dispute is. I just don't know because I only tangentially researched things,
yeah,
Phil.
Yeah.
Right? I'm a high-level researcher.
You can't do a lot of research when you're doing it 10 seconds before the show. I get it, yes.
So anyway, they were out there. They got the banner, Unite Here, Local 25, which I believe is also in D.C., and somebody comes out, allegedly from the restaurant, and stabs Scabby.
Whoa.
Stabs him.
A restaurant employee.
Well, that's what the union has alleged.
Yes.
That it was a restaurant
employee. I doubt it was just an eater at the restaurant who decided, like, I can't do
that. That was actually dressed up like a restaurant employee.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it was Halloween. I don't know.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Possibly. So, I'm sure that's their defense. That wasn't one of ours.
No, it wasn't us. Why would we do that after we told you to take it down? So the cops come, and here's the best thing about it, right?
Yeah.
In New York, dozen cops busting through the restaurant. Now, this is their opening night, right,
yeah,
of this resurgent restaurant, you know, blah, 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 Star Group. And they come busting in, and they're trying to find the perpetrator, and they don't find him, and whatever. It is what it is. But Scabby gets, you know, deflated because you puncture Scabby, and first of all, I don't even know if you can fix it, right? You can't just put a Band-Aid on it. And Scabbies are like $7,000. They're not cheap.
No.
Right?
Depending how big they are, yeah. I've heard that number.
So I did a little bit of I actually did a little research, Phil,
okay,
about this company. And I was like, oh, what is this dispute really about? And it turns out that, you know, they're trying to organize, and, you know, in his, like, this guy's restaurant group, Star Restaurants, I guess he was like a famous chef. I don't even know his name. And so they're fighting. On one hand, they refuse to recognize a bargaining unit. On the other hand, they bring in union busters. And then what do they do, Phil? What do you think that the restaurant group does?
They stab Scabby.
Besides that, stab in the heart of labor, they challenge the constitutionality of the National Labor Relations.
Another one? A restaurant company?
A restaurant.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God. Like this other famous chef, Andre Bazar,
Balzar. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
He's like, oh, union wants to come in? Welcome. Come on in.
Yes.
Yeah, no fight, neutrality agreement. And these guys do the opposite, and they're going to challenge the constitutionality.
How unoriginal.
Right?
Yeah.
Get an original
You're a hack.
Yeah.
You're doing it at this point. Yeah. Get out of here.
So I, of course, took it upon myself to call Babbo.
Okay.
Because I'm from New York, you know, and I just wanted to hear what they had to say.
Wait, where are they? Who's being organized there? The servers?
I'm not sure anybody is. I just,
okay,
I don't know. I honestly, Phil, I didn't get that far. But
yeah.
I know there's
not a lot of restaurants are a union, right?
No, but you know, yeah, these big restaurant groups, you know, back famously, Let Us Entertain You, right? Hard fight.
Yes.
Hard fight against the unions. I don't think they ever actually get, the unions ever got a foothold in there.
I don't think so either.
But I called Babbo and they're like, hey, what's going on? Like, why'd you stab Scabby?
Yeah.
You know, or did you stab Scabby? And
yeah,
they're like, well, I'd love to take your name and information. And so I gave my name. But if you want to call and ask the same question, it's 212-777-0303. Again, 212-777-0303.
Is there video evidence of the Babbo Scabby assault?
Well, funny you should say that because the union asked for the video,
mm-hmm,
because, of course, there's CCTV everywhere. And they said, you know, we don't just hand that out. It has to be subpoenaed. I'm assuming at some point it's going to be subpoenaed.
Yeah.
And at that point, they're going to find out who did it. But
I know with the carpenters unions, we've had instances where our Scabbies, because there's a lot of Scabbies out there.
For sure.
One of them, this was downstate, I want to say around like Champaign area. It was outside, I can't remember the name, but it was one of the auto repair shops.
Okay.
One of the big national chains.
Uh-huh.
And one of the employees there decided that he was going to take out his shiv,
mm-hmm,
and cut poor Scabby open in the belly there. And so, yeah, ruined it.
And then this was the best thing about it. His company didn't pay for it.
They made
him pay out of pocket for that. So this guy who was probably acting on his own orders from his, hey, they're like, get rid of that rat.
Yeah.
He got a bill for like $4,000.
Good.
Yeah, because we took him to court.
Good.
Yeah. So just remember that when your company throws you under the bus and says, hey, we need you to go take care of this problem, they're not going to have your back when it comes to litigation because you're going to lose.
You're going to lose.
You have a First Amendment right.
Yes.
You can't destroy property.
And let's go back. You ready? Here we go. All right. So I told you that we're going to do a little deep dive for a quick second. I forget the year it was, but I should know this because it was literally my picket. We were picketing a golf course, and we had Scabby up there. And I want to say it was like Crystal Tree or something like that.
Okay.
In Orland Park.
Okay.
Is that right?
Right.
I think so. So we're picketing, we're doing the whole thing. And they come in and said, you know, you can't be here. Orland cops come and take this rat down. And we say, no, we're not taking the rat down. It's on the right of way. It's First Amendment, et cetera. Like, if you don't take it down, we're going to take it down for you. And they did. They took it down for us.
Now,
they were nice enough not to stab it.
Okay.
Okay, they just deflated it. And they took it and they...
How did they do it? Did they just pull the...
Yeah, they unplugged the generator. And so they took it to jail. They took Scabby to jail.
I do remember this.
So this was like on a Sunday. And the following Saturday, we brought 17 Scabbies and 1,000 people. And people dressed up in rat costumes and trucks. And it was fun. Like, all the trades were there. You guys were there. Teamsters, everybody. And we had signs that said, free Scabby, free Scabby. We put on a big protest. And, you know, right there in Orland Park in front of the cop shop. And they're like, okay, just go away. Guys, just ridiculous. And they we'll give you Scabby back. Just please just go away. And we did. And then, you know what we did? We sued them. We sued Orland Park.
Yeah.
And they're like, why? We gave you Scabby back. Like, now you're going to sue us? And the answer was, yeah, we're going to sue you because we need to end this fight once and for all. So the case went to court. And I just want to read you the first line of the case. And this is the case that made Scabby protected by the First Amendment in the United States. It was a federal case. It said, it would be easy to minimize the significance of this case by disclosing that a central part of this dispute involves an inflatable rat figure. Which I just thought was the funniest first
important
line.
Detail.
Yeah. And it says, yet this case involves important principles of labor picketing, which are protected by the First Amendment, right to free speech and assembly, blah, 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 blah. And that was it. That was the case that that protected Scabby. And, oh, by the way, Orland Park had to pay our attorney's fees. And, you know, and eventually, and now Scabby is protected.
I remember that. Yeah.
Right?
That was what they call that, the Streisand effect.
What does that mean?
It basically means if they would have just played ball and go along and allowed you to keep Scabby up there.
Right.
They would not have run into a situation where you have 1,000 people there in rat costumes. And
why is it called the Streisand effect?
And it's something to do with her property. I think she like had a house listed and she's like, no, I don't want to talk about it. I want to keep it private.
Right.
And then next thing you know, there was millions of people talking about it.
Oh, I got
it. So it's just like, yeah, when you draw attention to something that is, there's an easy solution to, just take that easy solution or else it's going to get blown way out of proportion.
Yeah. Well, you're a big
something like that.
You're a big Barbara Streisand fan.
I am a big Barbara Streisand fan.
Everybody knows that.
I like the concept and I don't know if it's exactly as I just described, but something like that.
It makes sense to me. Listen, whatever you, I believe everything you say.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
Someone does.
Yeah.
Callers, call me out on that, but it's something like that.
It makes sense to me. Anyway, so that's the Scabby news. You know, don't mess with Scabby. Just leave Scabby alone. Let people exercise their rights to protest peacefully. First Amendment. Bring attention to whatever issues they want to bring attention to. You know, now because of Scabby being legal, now you have like the fat cat, right?
That's right.
That's the guy holding a worker and smoking a cigar, and he's a cat. Right?
Yes.
And then I've seen another one. I think it's called like Infected Scabby, where his whole stomach is infected.
Yeah,
like,
that's a tough.
They're getting a little like,
a tough watch. That
they're getting a little creative.
Yes.
Right. But just if you see a giant inflatable rat and they're all over the place.
Our president isn't a huge fan of Scabby.
Well, it's funny you should say that because last time he was president, this is his second go around. I don't know if you know this.
I'm aware.
Last time he was president, his labor board tried to ban Scabby.
That's right.
Right. The labor board literally said, you know what? That rat is illegal. So you could have a blow up, you know, gorilla in front of a shopping center, like, hey, everybody, come on in. But you can't have an inflatable rat.
That's
talking about a balloon. He's going to make a balloon illegal.
I remember that. Yeah.
Right.
But the courts side with us, right?
I don't think it even got that far because the NLRB never got that far. Or yeah. I forget what happened. Or and then he lost the election, you know, and so it went away. I'm surprised it's not back. But then again, we don't have a functioning labor board. So maybe that's, you know, the one silver lining.
By design, that. Yes.
You know, so anyway. So that's it. That's our scabby news. If you feel like calling and telling those folks what you think, feel free.
Let them have it.
Yeah, why not? All right, we're going to come back and then sure. We'll close it out.
Sounds good to me.
Talk a little about what you did for Halloween, Phil, right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken, Phil, hey, how was your Halloween, by the way?
It was good, thanks.
You had a good time?
Yeah, took the kids out, hung out with some of the neighbors.
I heard you had a really like esoteric costume.
I did.
What was it?
If anyone's seen the show Task, which
yes, I have,
I've led you to become a believer of. Very intriguing show on HBO. Mark Ruffalo,
mm-hmm. I like, by the way,
who I think might be from Chicago.
Oh yeah,
he plays an FBI agent who's gone through a lot in life.
Yeah,
and there's a pretty iconic scene in the show, at least, where he's sitting on his couch in a blanket, day drinking from an oversized Philly styrofoam cup.
Yeah, it takes place in Pennsylvania.
It takes place in Pennsylvania, correct. Yeah. In Delco. So, yes, I went as him, Agent Tom.
did anybody recognize you?
No, but...
they just thought it was like, hey, there's Phil. There's just regular Phil.
Even people
day drinking with a giant cup. Day drinking
with a blanket on. Even people who seen the show, they're like, oh, okay.
Oh, I see it now.
I had to lead him there. But I always go for convenience when it comes to Halloween costumes.
For sure,
Least amount of effort possible.
You know what mine was?
What?
The same thing I do every single year. I take out a ton of, because it was cold, right?
Yes.
And kind of, you
know, coldish.
Yeah, it was cold. At least it wasn't snowing. But you know, I take out a giant case of or cooler beers for the parents that come by, have a beer and whatever. I take out my guitar and I take out an amp, and every kid that walks by, I'm like, "You pick a song," and they're like, "Oh, Taylor Swift, blah blah blah," and I just play like Barracuda. I'm like, "Taylor Swift, everybody." And it was the same joke for years and years and years. And I was cold until I drank enough, and then I wasn't.
Nice.
And then my Barracuda got a little sloppy.
Yeah, I can believe that. Yeah, it's hard to, you don't have the dexterity in your fingers when it's that
cold. And it's cold, yeah, right? And I'm not a good guitar player anymore, yes. Right?
So, yeah, so you say, pick a song. I don't know anything you're going to suggest. Here's Barracuda.
One time, I'm not kidding, one little girl.
Has anyone ever asked her Barracuda?
One little girl, the dad's like, oh, tell them the song that you just heard that you like. And she's like, Barracuda. I'm like, no way.
Nice.
Like, all right. I was a hero for a minute.
It's your time to shine.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. We got a couple of quick labor things. Ready?
Yes.
All right, Tennessee. The UAW went down there and they organized Volkswagen.
Nice.
Right? And so UAW represents Volkswagen down there. I think there was a kind of a neutrality agreement, perhaps, or something along those lines. But I don't think Volkswagen put up a major fight. But UAW wins, right? First major automaker in the South that's not part of the Big Three. To be organized in maybe forever, and they haven't been able to get to a first contract yet. So,
was Volkswagen neutral?
I think they were. I think they're, you know, that's a German company, and they have some, you know, different sort of dynamics.
I think you have to be in the union in Germany, yeah.
You know, yeah. So, and there's like a worker board and things like that, but they haven't gotten to a contract, and, you know, it's been a while, so... UAW doing kind of what it does best says, okay, well, then we're going to strike.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if they've set a deadline yet. Sometimes, you know, the threat of a strike is sometimes just as effective as a strike, sometimes more. But, you know, certainly hopefully it gets Volkswagen off the dime and gets, you know, gets people talking and like, hey, because nobody wants to see a strike. Hopefully they come up with a first deal.
Yeah.
So we got that. And then
shout out UAW.
Yeah. That's just, you know, and hopefully they go out and continue to organize the South because it's not an easy place to organize because it is right to work state, yeah, you know.
Everywhere you look.
And then Kaiser Permanente, right?
Big healthcare company.
Yeah. Massive, massive company. They are in the throes of just. I don't know, it's a brutal fight with their unions, and I'm not sure, you know, staffing and pay and, You know,
are they only in California?
I don't know.
That's where most of their.
I feel like it is. Executive compensation is just like, you know, through the roof, and you know, here are, you know, nurses and orderlies and everybody that works to make the hospital run. You know, trying to make a living, and also, by the way, at the same time, trying to get, you know, more staff, more help for patient care. And so whenever you talk about, you know, healthcare, it's a bit of a different animal, right? Where they're not only fighting for themselves, which I think makes sense, obviously, but they're fighting for the good of their patients.
Of course.
And kudos to them for doing it. So they have said that if they don't get a deal, 20 plus unions are going to go out and strike together. 45,000 people.
Whoa.
Right? So
that's
hopefully they'll get a deal.
People will take notice of that. 45,000.
And the problem is, of course, 45,000, you know, hospital healthcare workers go on strike. Who's taking care of the patients?
Yes.
Right? And it's a really tough, you know, decision, tough way to, you know, to hold the line. So I don't know what's going to happen. But anyway, we're going to watch that.
Yeah.
We got to go.
Yes.
All right. We'll come back next week. Maybe Ed will be here. Maybe not. I don't know. Yeah, let's hope. By the way, thanks for taking a shot at me and my fishing prowess last week. don't think I didn't notice that. Good one.
You're a tremendous fisherman.
Yes, everyone thank you so much. It's called fishing, not catching.
That's right.
All right, listen. We'll be back next week with more of The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Worker's Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Worker's Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.